Chapter 1. Wedding planner Eliza Belfont smiled at the happy couple and watched as they made their way onto the dance floor inside the tent, dominating the rear of the seaside hotel. Beneath the crisp white canvas, 300 natural bamboo chairs with pearly white cushions matched white draped tables glittering like sea glass beneath the 10,000 artfully draped lights overhead. Sand-colored runners ran the length of the long tables, and fairy lights twinkled with perfect randomness amid white and teal ribbon and greenery. Intertwined with that was a mix of white hydrangeas and jasmine, the abundance of blooms dotted with crystals. Crystal and candles finished the table arrangements, the varying heights of the pillars lending even more elegance to the overall look. The very young, very spoiled bride had insisted on beige and white for the foundation to make it more beachy, even though she'd also demanded the tent have a floor to keep all that awful sand contained. Eliza remembered hearing that request, the 100th or so at that point, and biting her inner lip to keep the smile pinned to her face. Why bother with a beach wedding if sand wasn't a welcome guest? But the bride was always right, even if she was neurotic about sand. On the beach. Be thankful, she mused, blinking her tired eyes. 6 months ago, she'd wondered if she'd have to close what was left of her business and file for bankruptcy due to the damage done when her partner and boyfriend had not only ended their relationship but taken off with half of the business as well as their administrative assistant. The two had secretly started their own company on the sly before Eliza realized what was happening and managed to charm clients into choosing them, then proceeded to rub Eliza's nose in the mud with every client they'd lured away. Eliza forced her thoughts from the past and back on the couple of the day, focusing on the cashier's check currently processing its way into her account via her bank's phone app. One must never be too cautious, and this bridezilla had made Eliza a little too nervous with some of her last-minute demands. The changes always came with a comment about not paying if her wedding wasn't just right. The one ace up Eliza's sleeve was that the bride and Eliza's former assistant had bad blood between them, also over an old boyfriend, so the bride couldn't push too far or else she would risk having to hire her nemesis. Still, she hadn't made Eliza's life any easier, because she'd known Eliza needed the business. And while Eliza had contracts in place to cover her own interests, the last thing she needed was negative social media. Or another attorney fee. There had been enough of both during her breakup with James and the business breakdown. So much so, she'd had to get an attorney involved to protect herself. Now her newly named dream weddings was once again hers and hers alone. But until she got her business back on its feet, it paid to be overly cautious and overly accommodating. Because in the end, none of it mattered so long as she got paid. Gorgeous, Marcelle Jones said. As always. Eliza turned to find her best friend of the last 14 years standing behind her, another woman at Marcelle's side. Hey, she said with a smile after muting the mic she wore, which connected her to several of the catering staff. Eliza leaned into Marcelle's quick hug and relished the embrace. It's so good to see you. I've missed you. Right back at you, Marcelle said, squeezing Eliza. I didn't see your name on the list. Given that Marcelle was a professional matchmaker and friends with Hollywood A-lister Oliver Beck, it wasn't unusual for Marcelle to appear at functions hosting members of Wilmywood's movie production crowds. Bridezilla's father was part of Wilmington's movie-making group, but I'm Amelia's plus one, Marcelle said, introducing Eliza to Amelia Porter, a set designer. Amelia had sandy brown hair pulled back in a simple twist and wore a sleeveless rose gold gown. When she said you guys were playing phone tag and her fiancé couldn't make it, I volunteered to come and convince you to pull off a mini miracle for them, Marcelle said, sliding Eliza a glance. Oh yeah. That's why Amelia's name had sounded familiar. Ah, now I remember, Eliza said with a nod. I'm sorry for the delay. As you can see, I've been a little busy, but I'd plan to try again first thing Monday. Eliza waved a hand at the interior and crowd. When's the date? Emilia exchanged a glance with Marcelli before making eye contact with Eliza. 2 weeks, the woman said, wincing appropriately. I know. It's asking a lot because it's a huge rush, but if I want a wedding instead of just a date at the courthouse, it's the only way. I'm kind of on a time schedule and we don't want to take a year to plan something. But we want small and intimate but special, she added, since it's my first and only. Eliza ignored the first and only comment and focused on the schedule. 2 weeks? Eliza glanced at Marcelli, noting her curly-headed friend had embraced her curls for the night. Marcelli's hair was a thing of beauty, but tended to have a life of its own some days. Kind of like the craziness of her business, she mused. You and I both know you can totally pull it off. And, Marcelli added, they'll happily pay you whatever it takes to make it happen in that time frame. Marcelli knew all of Eliza's secrets, including the time Bobby Jones had felt her up on the school bus, but more importantly, Marcelli knew of her financial struggle to stay afloat since the big showdown with James. After seeing how amazing this is, I really want you to plan it, Eliza, Amelia said, her soft green eyes pleading. Please. Say yes. I want a beautiful wedding, but there's no way I can do it all on my own. Eliza stared out at the large area scattered with creamy lounges and love seats carefully placed in front of flowered backdrops. Outside, tulle billowed in the breeze, looped across the custom arch and decorated with gigantic flower arrangements, all of which had been ordered months in advance and carefully tracked. Like Amelia, so many wanted the picture-perfect wedding, but had no clue of the effort it took to make such things happen. The venue lighting, seating, props, gowns, catering, band, staff, fittings, setup and takedown labor. The list was nearly endless, and no matter how simple a bride said they wanted a wedding to be, it always, always turned into more. Weddings were a production, and depending on how deep the pockets the bride and groom or their parents had, the bigger and more elaborate things tended to get. But Eliza had yet to fail her clients. Whatever they wanted, they got. Especially now when she worked so hard to showcase her talents over her competitors. After all, happy customers fueled her bank account and the safety those numbers gave her state of mind. Facing bankruptcy tended to make a person need that safety. Eliza. Marcelli gently nudged her arm. I'll help however I can. I know it's late notice, but I'd consider it a personal favor. They've got a great story, and it deserves a celebration the likes of which only you can pull off. Please. Eliza shot both women a glance before she inhaled and opened the book she carried everywhere with her. She had copies of her copies, because when she couldn't find something digitally, she always fell back on her trusty paper Bible of wedding information. 2 weeks, she murmured. What day? A weekend would be best, but any evening. You make it work, Amelia said. And we'll make it work, too. Wow. Now that was an unusual statement. Usually the bride had one date in mind and refused to budge from it, demanding the world stop whirling and shift around her date accordingly. But due to her change in business status. You're in luck, she said, staring at the date that had brought her so much pain. I have that Saturday open 2 weeks from now. Because the very elaborate, very lucrative, very posh wedding she'd planned inside of Landfall had gone to James and his bimbo after James had finagled a golf game with the bride's father. Ink us in, Amelia said with a happy smile, her hands clasped in front of her like she wanted to dance and was trying to contain her excitement. Inka. We haven't discussed my fees, Eliza murmured. If you can do something like this on a small scale in that time frame. Ink, Amelia said, nodding her head to confirm her words while giving Eliza a steady look. Yeah. This had taken 14 months to plan. 2 weeks? Sure, no problem. Do you have your gown? No. Venue? Not yet. Color scheme. Eliza glanced up and found Amelia beginning to look a bit wild-eyed and panicked. A soft laugh left her chest, and Eliza shook her head and snapped the book closed. She really needed to investigate panicked bride hazard pay. Can you meet me after the reception is over to give me an idea of what you'd like? Absolutely. Does that mean you'll do it? Amelia said. Eliza agreed with a nod, rattled off the Saturday date just to confirm it, and Amelia gave Eliza a quick hug in response. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, I see someone I know and I have to go share the news. I'm so excited. Excuse me. Marcelie remained after Amelia hurried away, and once the woman was out of hearing range, Eliza stared up at her taller friend and lifted a single eyebrow high. Are you trying to put me in an early grave? Marcelie laughed and wrapped an arm around Eliza's shoulders, squeezing. I'm trying to show you that there are actually special couples out there who have the forever kind of love, and Amelia and Lincoln are one of them. Aha. Marcelie released Eliza and stepped in front of her to get her full attention. You amaze me. How do you make a living planning weddings that look like something out of a fairy tale or catalog shoot when you say you don't believe in love? Easy. It's called a creative mind and financial security. Lizzie, you sound so jaded. And you know why. You can't let James destroy you. It's not just James and you know it. James was just the icing on the proverbial wedding cake. Fine. Your parents' marriage was pretty awful. As was everyone else's in my family. I know, but that doesn't mean. Maybe it does. Ever think of that? I'm sorry, but I think you're delusional, Miss Matchmaker. These two, she said, lowering her voice to a cautious whisper. I give them 6 months and that's being generous. Eliza. That's awful. Hey, I've been doing this since I was 16 with my first job as an event assistant. The rose-colored glasses have long since shattered, especially after all I've been through this past year. I've learned the signs and trust me, they don't have it. What signs? For one, he's twice her age. Sometimes those work. And sometimes they're because flirty child bride broke up the first marriage. He was also in the bar last night with his hands all over a. No need to continue, Marcelie interrupted, lifting her hand toward Eliza. I like my naive state where I can still believe in love. Don't ruin it for me. Eliza chuckled at her sweet friend's expression and hooked their arms, tugging Marcelie toward the bar. That's because you're in love with love. And a Hollywood hottie. Stop it. I am not. Lie to yourself if you like. Me. I see how you eye your Ollie. Shush. Keep your voice down, Marcelie ordered, taking a quick glance around. He has other friends here, you know. So you admit it? Eliza asked. Absolutely not. Oliver is a good friend. Who, I might add, lives in LA while I'm here. Besides that, he only sees me as Max's little sister. Which is why Max's little sister needs to focus on the release of her book, in what? 3 weeks? 2. And thank you. But you're still cynical, Marcelie muttered. Eliza shifted her weight on her aching feet and wished once again the bride hadn't been so anti-sand. The hardwood floor wasn't nearly as forgiving, and she had several hours to go yet. I'm realistic. Love gets most everyone to the altar, but it does nothing to keep them married, or even in business together. That's called integrity and commitment. No argument there. That's it. You're killing me. I am going to fix you up no matter how much you protest. I didn't like James because there were some red flags you chose to ignore. Eliza flinched. Ouch. You know it's true. And I'm not saying that to be cruel, but simply because you settled for less than you deserve, Marcelli added. Exactly. The right guy will never treat you the way James did, and I'm going to make it my mission to find a man who will make you realize that. From now on, you are going to let me match you. Eliza stared up at her taller friend and shook her head wryly. After the devastating betrayal by James, and watching her mother scrimp by between men and the financial support they offered, the last thing she ever wanted to do was fall in love and find herself vulnerable to a man again. Wanna bet?